These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Tuesday afternoon here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve Bertrand in the Skyline Studio. We're going to talk moving, a new way to maybe move or store your stuff a little bit later in the show. How long have you been with your credit card? For a lot of us, longer than with our significant other. At least that was the result of a recent study. And we'll talk about why you might be better off changing your credit card. But right now, we start with John Najarian from CNBC. He has his beads on as he celebrates Mardi Gras on this Fat Tuesday and joins us to talk about Wall Street. John, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen. It is indeed a bacchanalia of fun every Fat Tuesday.
But it looks like it's not much of a Fat Tuesday on Wall Street today. Things look fairly quiet. You tell me, am I wrong?
Nope, you are not. It is pretty calm on Wall Street today. Yesterday, we had more of the fireworks where we opened up nearly 200 points and sold off over 300, almost 400. And today, it's just been meandering around the neutral line. The S&P's up 50 cents, Dow up 30, NASDAQ up a little over 9 points. So it's a pretty dull session so far.
Is it safe to say you enjoy Papa John's pizza again now?
I do, and I did, even during the disputes that the founder had with the board. I think it gave you a great entry point a couple times as their rhetoric was really ratcheting up. In other words, you could buy it on dips and make a nice profit. But, yeah, this one's been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. It's nice that they finally can put that behind them.
And Schnatter then will, he'll leave altogether, as you understand it, right? He's gone?
Yep, he is giving up his board seat. I don't know that he has to sell his stock because he's one of the largest, if not the largest shareholder. But nonetheless, he is off the board and he no longer has a say at the company, much like the founder of Lululemon.
Target and Kohl's are up today. The CEO of Target was talking. They exceeded expectations, as I understand it, but he seemed to be tamping down expectations for next year, right? That next year might not be as nice for retail as this past year was?
He could have been doing that. Brian Cornell is a very bullish guy, but you know, I think any experienced leader on Wall Street knows you don't want to give them too much optimism. Better to give sort of a warm, yeah, things are okay, than, oh my gosh, we're going to do so well next year, because you're setting your own bar. And he's setting that bar higher if he's really enthusiastic. But I'll tell you a couple enthusiastic points. Number one, they did over $5 billion in digital sales. That's huge. It's following basically only Walmart with their Jet acquisition that does better. And they're going to refurbish a bunch of stores. Redoing a store, of course, is not as expensive as opening up a new one, but it makes the customer feel like the experience is better. And I think Mr. Cornell has been winning with that sort of outlook.
Yeah, I don't know, John. They redid my Target. Maybe it's been a year or two ago, and I still get lost. I don't know my way around, so those a little troubling.
Well, so there's that side of it, too.
Yeah, that's a problem for me. I want to talk, let's talk Walgreens, too. They were getting hit today, and was that because of the FDA report yesterday, or what's affecting Walgreens today?
Well, so many of those stocks in that sector are worried about what the new constituency, or at least leadership of the House, might be doing as far as going after them. And so CVS has been especially weak, but Walgreens has also taken a bit of a hit, and I think it's more industry-wide than I think it is just Walgreens-related.
So yesterday, I think it was the FDA that cited Walgreens for 18 offenses of selling e-cigarettes to underage kids. They did it to a variety of different e-cigarette sellers. But if you're mentioning CVS, I don't think they sell that. So you're talking about the House Democrats then and drug prices? Is that what is impacting this?
Yes, sir. Okay. I mean, today it was Morgan Stanley looking at that, and they basically dropped their target $10, which is more or less about 15% Morgan Stanley's target had been $77 a share for Walgreens. They cut it to $67. Yesterday, like you say, FDA commissioner was really forceful about retailers and those e-cigarettes, and that's going to be more of a Walgreens issue than CVS, just as you said.
Let's talk Tesla. China says, come on over, but the stock is down.
Yeah, well, yesterday's announcement, or over the weekend, the announcement by Elon Musk about more or less not preserving those stores and more or less going to a completely online retailer, that's something different. But, you know, another thing that Mr. Musk is going to try out. And he apparently surprised a lot of his employees with that announcement.
You know, I remember, John, doing a show, Extension 720. I was feeling it's probably been 20 years ago. And they said that one day we would buy our cars online, that's the way it was going to go. Now, you certainly can shop for cars online, but do many of us buy cars online, just completely online?
No, it's a very small percentage, but it could be a large percentage, I guess, of potential Tesla buyers, since they're targeting an audience that's not only affluent, but probably very active online.
Right.
At least that's my opinion of them. And they can be active online when they're in the car, too.
So
hopefully not the driver.
No, they'll have showrooms, right? I mean, you will be able to drive a Tesla somewhere.
Yep, they'll have showrooms, but fewer and far between. Obviously, without those big footprints that they have to pay for every month, all over the country, since they own all of their dealerships, or whatever, what would used to be called a dealership in their network, that'll save them some money. And Tesla is somewhat concerned about its burn rates and trying to address that through a variety of things.
Well, you and I talk about Elon Musk and Tesla quite a bit because he may be the genius who changes our world. Who knows? What are you watching today? What's your suggestion?
Well, we saw pretty good activity in two stocks that we liked a lot. Netflix is one. They were buying at-the-money calls, the 350 calls out in May. So the stock trades for about $351 a share, and they were buying those, so they're giving themselves several months of upside potential in those calls. We were buying those because, again, the end for them keeps being overstated by everybody that wants to compete with them, but nobody has unseated them yet.
I think the new head of HBO was ripping on Netflix today, right? Said they don't really have a brand anymore.
Yeah, and I completely disagree. I think they have the brand.
Yeah. The brand is that's where I watch TV.
Exactly. And the other one, Steve, would be Extended Stay America, STAY. That's a company that has just done fabulously over the last 3 months. Over the last month, it's up 8%, and it's a $19 stock. They've got almost 700 extended stay facilities across the country, and those are operating at a huge occupancy and nice profits.
John,
so we bought that today.
John Najarian, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk again next Tuesday.
Thank you, Stephen.
It's 12:23. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Steve Bertrand here, and also in the studio is Sean, is it Sandona?
Sandona, yep.
So literally, and people hate that word, but it's true. Literally, I was moving my mother-in-law out of a condo last week when I got an email about your business. And everybody's in storage now, right? I mean, you can't drive down a suburban road that's got more than two lanes where there aren't storage units everywhere.
Exactly. They're everywhere you look. Consumers are storing more and more of their products, moving their houses in between moves, everything. Storage is growing at such a crazy rate.
It's like it reminds me of the George Carlin routine, right? Stuff. Everybody's got their stuff. And so then I read your pitch, and you do things differently in that if I were to use you as a storage unit, I don't have my own locker, right? I don't have my own garage. You just take it and put it somewhere.
Exactly. It goes into an Amazon-esque type warehouse. We measure and package everything. We calculate its volume. You pay by the cubic footage you actually consume, and nothing goes into a locker. Everything's in big warehousing where we can have access to cleanliness, rodent control, everything, which you don't find that in self-storage units.
So does my stuff mingle with other people's stuff?
It does. Yeah. You can have your stuff on a rack with five other people's. But in addition, our facilities are no access.
But right, and so in the way I picture it, too, it's almost like it's not rail cars, but it's you've got containers, right? And it's, so the containers are stacked upon each other, so they're all sort of uniform-sized containers.
Well, we do use containers that are uniform containers. We don't stack those containers more than double stack, but we take furniture, we take bikes. If you name it, we can fit into our facility.
Is are there other people out there like you?
There are a couple other companies that are in the startup area with this as well. But we're the best, and we're Chicago-based.
And you're kind of a serial entrepreneur, right? You did lawn service. You have done all sorts of service businesses, and this is a new one for you.
Yep, I started my first company at 15 in Palatine.
What made you come into storage? Just the fact that it's everywhere?
I had four storage units myself, I did.
Really?
And necessity is the mother of all creation. And I couldn't figure out a better way. I had stuff broken into, stolen, damaged, rodents. And it was a mess.
Okay, so what happens if I use you and my stuff is stored in your Amazon-like warehouse and I decide I want a picture that I had packed away or a connector cable from 1982 that I want back?
It's so simple and easy. Everything you have in storage is photo inventoried through your account portal. At any time, you can see everything that's in storage by box, by furniture piece. You simply log in, click the item you want back, schedule delivery, and for smaller items or a group of small items, for $20, we bring it out to you as early as the next day.
I'm trying to figure out a tough and hard question because it's sounding too much like a commercial. And I don't mean it to be, but it just seems like such a perfect fit for... So I don't want to go visit my stuff. I just want a place to put my stuff and to get it back when I need to.
This is a business of passion. It's not about a marketing advertising. I had a problem in my life, and I knew lots of people did.
Right.
It's great for business, students, everyone.
I want to get to the students, but are you cheaper than the garage lockers?
Well, if you want to store your stuff in an outdoor, I don't want to name a brand, but storage facility that's not climate controlled, they're going to be a little bit cheaper. When you take into account a high-end facility, like some of the ones in the city, the packing materials, the trucking, your time is worth money. It's worth more to be spending with family and friends than worrying about a storage unit.
And
we're cheaper then.
You'll come in and pack up the stuff.
You don't have to lift a finger. All you have to do is lift one finger to schedule online, and then we come and we take care of everything for you.
Okay, so there's that. Now here's the really brilliant part. You're only in Chicago right now, right? Chicago and 30 miles out?
About 30 miles out. We've made exceptions.
Okay.
Launch Milwaukee and Madison in the next couple weeks.
Okay, too. Cool. But so I went to Marquette, so this will work.
Yep.
So many parents of college kids have to bring their stuff back and forth every year, or my son's going to rent a storage unit down in Miami of Ohio, which is just a pain. And you've got a student program as well.
We have a great student program. Students in Chicago loved us, from DePaul to Northwestern, University of Chicago. They simply log on. We pre-drop off the empty bins to them at their schedule. When they're ready, they pack them up, they photo log, they schedule their day of pickout on move out, and we come, we take it, and we bring it to our facility. Once they know their move-in date and their room number, they schedule it online, and we bring it right to their dorm.
You've been up and running about a year?
We've been in business. We just hit our one-year anniversary in Chicago.
How's it going?
It's going amazing. The response from the whole city has been great.
Really, I feel kind of guilty. This is like free. This is a commercial, but I like the idea, and I really think it's something that's going to take off. So thanks for coming in. I appreciate it very much. Sean Sandona, the founder and CEO, and I didn't know if I mentioned the company, Dorage.
Yep, Dorage.com. Dorage. Dorage.
Let's talk again.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, David Jennings. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, boxing is the thing when it comes to fitness. I don't know if you go to a health club regularly, but they all have punching bags now, it seems like, and it's the latest craze, certainly a growing craze, and who would know more about that than a guy named George Foreman III joins us on a phone line. Now, George, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks a lot, man. Glad to be with you.
Listen, I love your story. You've got this idea of opening a bare bones gym in Boston in 2012, and all of a sudden we're looking at boutique boxing rings. What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, we started in well, it all started back in 2016. I was a little overweight, and I wanted to lose a few pounds. 2006, and needed something to motivate me. And I said, I'm just going to have one amateur boxing match, and that's going to be my motivation to lose 70 pounds. Well, I lost the 70 pounds, and then my dad encouraged me to have a pro fight instead with him as my trainer and my manager. And after having 16 professional fights, that got kind of out of hand. I said, you know what? I love training people. I discovered that. And what if I made a business out of it? So we launched Everybody Fights in 2013.
Wait a minute, George. I think you're skipping part of the story. You didn't lose a fight in those 16 fights, did you?
No. The only one I lost is against my dad over dinner. But I was fortunate. I won all my fights. Yeah.
All right. So you create this company, Everybody Fights. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So the goal was, selfishly, just in case I went back to boxing, I was going to outfit this gym with everything I needed for my training camp, all under one roof. That meant I had to have my luxury sauna, steam room, rainfall showers. I had to have a juice bar to eat and recover, physical therapist on site, a room where I could do my recovery, my yoga, my Pilates. I did biking, so I had a room for spinning. The best treadmills in the market, best weight equipment, the best of everything for my training camp, and nobody was using it. So I started, everybody was just using the open gym equipment. It was brand new. So we started running classes to teach people how to use the different sections of the gym. And we look up a year later, we won best gym in Boston, best luxury gym in Boston. And all we were doing is taking the pieces of a professional boxing training camp and separating them off into specific, simple, easy-to-consume classes. So when you run, you have a specific class for that. When you circuit train, class. When you recover, your yoga or Pilates class. When you want to box, we have a special section classroom for that. And trainers who are masters at each respective area, and we encourage you to come 5 times a week and do something different every day. And that was the birth of Everybody Fights, because I didn't want to go out of business.
And
now we have 6 locations.
You got 6 spots. You got 2 in. Well, before we get to that, do you do actual boxing?
Yeah. So look, I think we do. I think we have more USA Boxing registered amateur fighters than any gym in Massachusetts. We have over 10,000 members, active users around the nation in our gyms, but only about 25 of them are competitive at any point, which is less than half of 1%.
What percentage?
So we do have them, but the bulk of our people just come to work out. In fact, 70% of them are women, and the women are actually, of that 25 fighters I told you about, the women are about half of them.
Yeah, okay, so that you answer my question then. You're right, you don't have to box to participate in the club. Why is it that boxing has taken off like this? Is it the Creed movies? Why do you think that boxing is taking off again when it comes to training?
I'd say a couple things. I think movies always help. I think Rocky did just as much for boxing as a lot of the athletes. I think boxing always gets a boost during a recession. I also think we owe a little bit to UFC. I mean, UFC brought a lot of people into fight sports who normally wouldn't be into it. But then they say, okay, I want to go do what I saw on TV, but I don't want to wrestle. But maybe I'll hit something. And I think we've benefited from that as well. And lastly, I think everybody is a little bit more open with the idea that, hey, I want to feel empowered. Men would never admit that for a long time, that they need something that makes them feel empowered. Women typically are more vocal, like, I want to feel empowered. But I think empowerment is a trend right now, and there's nothing more empowering than balling up your fist and hitting something and knowing that you could do it in a pinch if you need it
in the real world. I know you're at the Midtown, the Hotel Midtown, and their big development in Lincoln Park. I actually belong to the Midtown Club in Bannockburn. Which is where you're going to expand. So I know, I go to a sort of a big box club like that. How does your program fit into an existing club?
Well, look, if you remember from the original explanation, boxing is just throwing punches and learning how to defend yourself from punches coming at you, and it's strategic. And you can train in a phone booth. That's what Ali said. Now, everything else, luxury locker rooms, yoga classes, Pilates classes, core classes, running classes. We don't have to be the masters of that. There's other people that are great at that. In fact, Midtown Athletic Club is even better, 10 times better than I'll ever be. But we can come in and say, hey, let's offer the boxing component. And when you put it with all the other components we mentioned together, that's the everybody fights experience. That's why it works.
Will there be a ring at the Bannockburn Club?
The Midtown Athletic Club locations and all, you know, so just to give you an idea, so we have this product we created. I call it a product because it's very simple. We try to do it the same time everywhere we go, and we try to make sure we're working with best-in-class operators. And what it is a bags room, right? So you have 30 bags, and then you have a ring, right? And then you have a place where you can practice your technique, the speed bag, the double end bag, the uppercut bag, all these things you saw in the Rocky movies. So there's three areas to every box that we put in a third-party gym. And the ring is for one-on-one training. You can work with a trainer one-on-one and do the mitts. The technique area is for small group training. And then the bag room is for large format classes. And all of our locations, that's how we build them out.
All right. We're about out of time, but I want to ask you one other question because, you know, George Foreman III, we know about your dad, George Foreman, the boxer. And so that's maybe where the boxing impetus comes from. But your dad was an entrepreneur, right? I mean, I would imagine you picked up a little of that from him.
Learn to sell, and you'll never starve.
Yeah,
that's what he taught me. And be the nicest person in the world. So, yeah, he's an entrepreneur, and those two lessons have done me well.
You sound like a pretty nice guy. George Foreman III. It's Everybody Fights. And so you're coming to Midtown and Bannockburn, and where else in Chicago?
So we'll actually make an announcement pretty soon about all the places we're going to go.
Okay.
I've been really fortunate to work with Midtown in their Chicago location. The original one, to really incubate how we coexist with a third party. And we'll be announcing, you know, locations opening all around the nation within the next few weeks. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Do that, George. Come back. Nice to talk to you.
Excellent. Thank you.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day.
Boy, here we go again. Data breach alert, this time from Rush Medical Center. They notified 45,000 patients that their names, addresses, birthdays, social security numbers, and health insurance info are out and about in the world. What happened? Well, an employee, quote, improperly disclosed a file to an unauthorized party. And as simple as that, it's exactly how it all starts. Apparently, no malicious use of the info has been reported yet. But these days, if your personal information is out and about, it's safe to say it'll be out there forever. But on a happier note, if you haven't checked out Waukegan lately, it might be worth taking a look, because the Lake County town is looking to make their Waukegan Beach the Northern Navy Pier. But they're looking for business vendor help to help build it out. City officials announced that they're accepting proposals for a number of businesses to help build their vision, big and small. Who knows? It could beat out Mars Cheese Castle as the new stop on your way to Wisconsin. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Steve Alexander. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank, and we thank them for that. It's 12:51, John Williams just around the corner. So I want you to think of your credit card, your relationship with your credit card. Is it a long one? Have you been together a long, long time? Maybe it's time to look new. There was a study out, I think it was from creditcard.com, that said more than 1 in 4 cardholders never plan to change their primary credit card. The guy who wrote that paper is Matt Schultz, the chief industry analyst at creditcard.com. He joins us on a phone line now. Matt, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you for having me. And it's actually comparecards.com. I was formerly at creditcards.com. So.
Okay, I'm sorry, comparecards.com. I guess that's really kind of what we're talking about, right? A lot of us get into a credit card rut and we don't get out of it. We just stay with the card we have. Why not stay with the card you have if you're happy with it?
Well, if you are happy with it and it's giving you what you want, then that's perfectly fine. But the truth is that oftentimes a 5-10-year-old credit card, like an old pair of pants or an old jacket, probably doesn't fit you as well as it used to. So it's probably a good idea to look around if you feel like you're not getting what you want from that card.
It's interesting when you look at the different types of people who change more often than others. It's lower income people who are less likely to change. Is that because it's harder for them to get a new card, or are they maybe missing some opportunities and just not taking advantage of them?
It could be a little bit of both, but a lot of times those are the folks who need to change, because especially if you are young and you still only have the card that you had when you just got out of college or when you got your first job, that card probably doesn't have a great interest rate. It probably doesn't have the lowest fees. And if you have advanced a few years in your career, in your financial stability, then it's important for you to graduate to a better card that can work for you a little harder.
I never thought of it, but if you're engaging with a card, signing up for a card when you have, I guess the point I'm making is the credit card company never notifies you and tells you that your interest rate is going down, does it?
Generally, no. But the good news is that you can call them and take a little bit of control, because oftentimes people would be really surprised at how often people call their issuer and ask for a reduced interest rate. It's such a competitive space. And if you go in with another offer that you've seen, whether it's something you've gotten in your snail mail or that you've seen at a site like comparecards.com, you can use that as ammunition, and there's a good chance that your issuer is going to work with you, especially if you have a good track record.
Yeah, and it sounded like I was joking, but I really wasn't, because if you get a card and you're stuck with that rate and you never look to change that rate, they're not going to tell you. They're not going to lower it for you. You might be paying more each month than you need to.
Yeah, banks generally aren't in the business of giving money away
no.
for free.
Right.
So, but all that said, if you ask for a break, your chances of success are better than you think it is.
What should I be after? Do I want a credit card that's going to give me cash back? Do I want a credit card that's going to give me points for travel? Or how do you assess those things?
Well, it really comes down to some of the oldest advice out there. It's really about know thyself. So before you apply for a card, or before you kind of review your card that you have now, you need to ask yourself, how do I spend on that card and what do I want to get out of it? And once you kind of know that about yourself, it can steer you to whether you should get a cashback card or a points and miles card, or if you should just skip worrying about rewards altogether and focus on a reduced interest rate.
The Sapphire card made a real splash a few years ago with its generous point system. Are there? But the days of cards like the Sapphire rewards, those are pretty limited, right?
Yeah, that was a phenomenon like the credit card business hasn't ever seen and may never see again. But there are still plenty of really good offers out there, especially if you have good credit. The Sapphire Reserve had a 100,000 point giveaway, and you may not find those, or at least those that are that valuable, but there are plenty of cards out there with 50,000, 40,000 miles, and there's also really good sign-up bonuses for cash back as well.
Matt Schultz, the Chief Industry Analyst at comparecards.com. Matt, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.